Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Science of Triangles webinar. I think this is our eighth webinar. They've been sort of scattered over the months for various reasons. And at the moment, I am presenting these very early in the morning schedule for GMT. But I think that it may be necessary also to have an evening schedule occasionally, as we're obviously cutting some people out by, unless they're, you know, really anxious to wake up in two or three in the morning and do this. But, you know, if you miss one, they are available on Makara, and I say it's ongoing academic work, thinking about the various kinds of triangles. So I'd like to welcome those of you who are here, and Annette, Catherine, Clesia, Eha, Helena, Karen, Lori, Tuya, and Walter. And we're backed up by Brett and Joe, so we're good. Let's just have a little alignment before we get into the text for today. Well, we are entering the Aquarian Age. We're on the threshold of it. Air signs in astrology will be the ruling factors. That's one major triplicity. Triangular triplicity. It's Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. And all of them are important in the science of triangles. Gemini is the linking sign. It, along with Aquarius, relates to the etheric body. And interestingly enough, the symbol for Libra is the triangle, and it rules the atmic plane, where the planet is Saturn, with its very powerful third ray. I think it's pretty obvious that the third ray and the triangles goes together, but interestingly enough, it is oftentimes second ray people who undertake a focus on this kind of work. So the creative hierarchy ruled by Libra is called the triads, and they are lives that help to build our spiritual triad. And ultimately, they have a lot to do with triangles, because we're dealing with changing the ethers. This is our work. First, to change the ethers from a pattern of squares, and by bisecting the squares, create triangles. Now, that's one factor, and that's the one we're focused on, and they are the systemic ethers, the lower ethers down here on the upper part of the physical plane. But then again, this triangle work extends into the into the cosmic ethers, where Saturn and the third ray are ruling, and this group of lives, we are connecting with them, and I'll show you how that works. You may know already. And here it is. Libra, the lesser builders, the triple flowers, the force of mind, and it's found on the atmic plane. So this group of lives are also being contacted. It's a third ray group. Saturn is the major third ray planet. And we are building to connect so that a flow can occur in the systemic ethers and the reflecting the flow that hierarchy is working on in the cosmic ethers. All of our spiritual progress, what we call spiritual progress, relates now to the cosmic ethers. So let's realize that in learning about this work, we are helping to recondition the etheric body of the planet. So that it can reflect the inner sacredness that it has already achieved. Interesting. And we're working on this manifestation process, and that's a lot about what the reappearance of the Christ is intending to do, and the emergence of the planetary soul on the second ray to be reflected in our etheric interconnection. So, in a sense, the excuse me, the practical work that we do is done on Wednesday with the triangles meditation, which Tuya leads, and that gets right into the nitty gritty of our work. And here on Fridays, mostly, you know, depending on where you are, our work is to look at the various kinds of triangles that are found in our own etheric bodies, in the solar system, in our planet, in the solar system, and in our local cosmos. Beyond that, we don't really need to go, although the whole subject continues and continues until, you know, obviously for some kind of being, galaxies themselves are chakras triangularly related. So it's a vast subject. One that is very close to Master DK's heart, he says. One which must go on. This work must go on. And we try to learn so we can help it continue. I'm sorry, morning frogs here. Okay. And we'll just conclude our little thought process there with the Om. Okay, now let's see where we are here. We can always go back to that particular chart. Notice how many triangles there are. So many. And we have to learn how to equilibrize these triangles. Much will depend on our monadic ray, which part of any triangle gets activated first, and which is strongest, shall we say, at any particular time of history. Let's just say the first ray monads have trouble with love, the second ray monads with knowledge, and the third ray monads with will. So those are the three factors activated eventually, yes, but Not at first. Now, okay. So here is our beginning point. And we're dealing with occultism in general, okay? And I think I'm going to try to write this in blue. I've got a lot of red that's left over from other work when I was just looking at astrology as astrology. But now it's in the triangular consideration. So, Science of Triangles, number 8, the academic study, page 419. So, therefore, he says, in studying these triangles, we will make for our guidance certain rules under which the law of analogy may facilitate our comprehension of the underlying meaning and truths. We know there are two laws that are operative here, and one is the law of analogy, and the other is the law of correspondences, which is a more detailed form of the law of analogy. And the law of correspondences, this is our great interpretive law. It's a very Mercurian law, if you will. And I think that Mercury is very much involved with the science of triangles. It is a far more occult and older planet in a sense than is Venus. And although one of its monadic rays is probably the fifth, represented by the five fingers of the human hand, the final representation of Mercury is probably the third ray monad. It's very interesting. Sometimes Master DK is closely associated with Gemini and with Mercury, and certainly he is the messenger, and so are the three Buddhas of activity. And this kind of knowledge is brought to us by Master DK and supported very esoterically as necessary. By the three Buddhas of activity in Shambhala. So let's see what is said here. With occultism, you can begin anywhere. Eventually, all things have to be related to all things. As one of my old friends said, and reciprocally. So we create a sphere of complete interrelationships, and we find that the figure, the symbol, and the actuality of the triangle is vitally important in blending together these different factors. At one point, Master DK talks about the blending power of the third logos. I think that's very interesting. I don't know. Is it on page 100, 600 of Cosmic Fire, or maybe not? But I'll see if I can find it. Blending power. Maybe we'll find it here. And maybe not. There it is. The blending power of the third logos is felt at the fifth initiation. This is a list which is very interesting and has some rather different kinds of attributions. So notice magical, aggressive, illuminating, harmonizing, blending power, unifying heat, dynamic electricity. Always it's a different word. And so here on page 433 of Cosmic Fire, I would certainly recommend the study. But we are dealing with the blending power of the third logos. It's not that we stand at the fifth initiation. It's a mercurial factor, and it's related to Saturn as well. Obviously, in getting into this part of the science of triangles, we'll be learning a little esoteric astrology as we go. All triangles studied will be regarded as expressing a major conditioning energy producing manifestation, and this corresponds to the monadic aspect. I've often thought that, I have not confirmed it, but I do believe it could be true, that for every chakra in man, and then we could extend the idea, there are three planets associated, and they kind of revolve and rule the chakra at different times. So in any triangle, even such as the major triangle in our nature, monad, soul, and personality, there are going to be three rays and three points of focus. And it's not until evolution really proceeds a long way that the soul point of the triangle can be in power, and it takes even longer for the monadic point to come in. In other words, millions and millions of years are spent with the personality point of our major triangle in power. But people like ourselves who are studying the teaching and want to work in service esoterically, we are bringing the soul aspect, the soul point of the triangle into expression. And there's a whole teaching around that, and Master DK has given us that. So the second qualifying energy, and you know, it's life, quality, and appearance. So whenever you confront a triangle, you're always going to deal with these three. A second qualifying energy producing consciousness, and this corresponds to the soul, ego or soul aspect. This is the ongoing expansion of sensitivity. Okay, and then a lesser expression of force, producing tangibility. This is so, well, obviously this one, the secondary qualifying aspect of any triangle corresponds, sorry, oh, how many R's do we need? To the second ray, and this personality aspect corresponds to the third ray. Okay. So that's a generic kind of understanding. There's always a one, two, three. But where we are in time and space, where we are in our development of any system, is what determines which one will be coming in. Now, as I say, if we're going to study this material, at least the soul point of our major triangle should be coming in, and this is going to reflect itself in other aspects of our etheric setup. I was talking to Tuya yesterday, and we were looking at page 170 of Treatise on Cosmic Fire, and here are various important etheric triangles. Matter of fact, I wonder if I shouldn't, you know, kind of copy these and put them in over here. I think I'll do that, you know, import, do a little bit of importing, and maybe I can leave the italics out of it, but I'm kind of a stickler for those things to try to reflect as accurately as possible how the books were edited, which is sometimes not the complete case when we're dealing with the CD-ROM, but still it's a marvelous instrument. Well, at different times of our development, these different triangles are shining more than the others, and that's how we notice what is a triangle which is most in effect. And we probably, maybe the esoteric healers think of the center between the shoulder blades, which is not the heart center, but above the heart center, maybe we call it the lung center. We know how important it is, vitality in relation to the lungs. Whoop, what did I do? All right, I'm not gonna do that. And this, okay, so this would be the lung center, and then here's the center near the diaphragm, but it's above the diaphragm, interestingly enough. Oh, I'm always doing that, right? All right. Oh, I did this already, didn't I? And I'm just, I got myself caught somewhere. Okay. And I'm going to press back one time. Yeah, that's it. Okay, now, in order to be familiar with the centers that are involved, we have to go to man controlled from the astral plane, and none of us is that right now, but notice that the major chakras are involved. The base of the spine has a preliminary function and is directly connected with the etheric body. And if you want to see a chakra that is connected with the dense physical body, look particularly for the sacral center, but it's also connected with the mind. So base of spine, solar plexus, and the heart as the giver of vitality. See, what's important to realize, and maybe we can realize it from examining the triangles closest to us, is that the different chakras have progressive functions. They don't come out with their highest functions immediately, just the way a human being has to go through the process of, you know, childhood and adolescence and gradual coming into full powers. Thus it is with the chakras, starting with small, not too radiant discs, and progressing as evolution proceeds. So the highest powers of the base of the spine or the heart are not going to be found in man controlled from the astral plane. And notice that two of the centers are particularly connected with the soft line rays in this case. The solar plexus, well, we were discussing it, you know. I do recommend that you go to, where do I recommend we go here? Yeah, I recommend that we go to Esoteric Astrology, page 517, and memorize what you find here. This is a map of which planets in general, but not completely, control the various chakras at early and later stages of human development. So, at first, some of them are the same. Uranus and Venus are always the same, but the throat is controlled by the Earth, and the solar plexus by Mars, and the head center by Pluto. Now, that's going to change for disciples and initiates. And we will have the head center controlled by Vulcan. Venus stays the same. The throat center will be controlled by Saturn. And instead of the sun, which is veiling a second ray non-sacred planet, I went looking for that reference, you know, I couldn't find it, but I know it's there. Or am I falling into the trap of reference imagined? But it is there. The sun and moon veil some non-sacred planets, but the names are not given. Solar plexus is ruling Mars at first, but then Neptune later, and the sun rules the heart, but then Jupiter later, and so forth. So do your best to memorize this sequence of major chakras and the rays that are coming through them and the different planets which are active in relation to them at different times of evolution. Now, sometimes there's going to be a battle going on between these two planets and between a sacred and a non-sacred use of the chakra. As I say, in the early days, we do not expect the full power of the chakra to emerge. That comes later, obviously. Okay, so I guess where was I here? I'm going to find it very shortly, I know. Well, I guess it was over here. So this is where most human beings find themselves at this time. They stay alive because of the base of the spine. They're filled with desire, and the heart is the conductor of vitality and the also involved in the desire nature at first. But now notice the change that happens. And some of us, you know, have, let's say, more recently been through this period. The base of the spine is still there. The vitality of the heart is still there. But it's the throat center now, and we have dropped the solar plexus. And if we are really controlled from the mental plane, the solar plexus will not be such an issue. And the throat center will become of very great importance, ruled by the third ray and by Saturn, if we're a disciple, or by the Earth normally. And since we're talking about control from the mental plane, see, in other words, look, we're not really talking here. This is not about Camomanus, because Camomanus is a mixture of desire and mind. And this is about the ability to actually abstract yourself and control your life in a more objective manner. And the throat center is involved. So, you know, excuse me. Let's just say time is passing. With each one of these triangles, time is passing. So when triangles are activated in your system, on our planet, in our solar system, and beyond, it depends very much on the developmental stage of the system. Now, for instance, I give you an idea here. Something occurs to me. If we look at one of these charts, we see something interesting. Notice that while the planetary schemes under Saturn, maybe we'll call it esoteric Saturn, are articulated in different ways. And if you really study it closely, you're going to see, you know, these are not all the same. Okay. Some of them have diamond shapes, some of them have square shapes, but up here, Uranus and Neptune are really generalized. Nothing is said about them that would lead you to understand their geometry. We don't understand their geometry yet. And why is that? It's because these planets are the highest of all the planets, and we are only halfway through our solar systemic development, and we have millions and millions, billions and billions of years, according to the Tibetan, to exhaust the duration of our solar system. Well, maybe the physical part will disappear sooner. So the chakras in our solar system involving Uranus and Neptune are not shining, shall we say, as brightly as some of these earlier chakras that relate to earlier developments in the system. And thus it is for man. Now, you know, we all ought to be here, but let's just say the next phase, the heart, the throat. Notice now we've dropped the base of the spine until it comes back as a powerhouse in the third, fourth, and maximally the fifth initiation. The throat is retained because the ego is on the mental plane. And now we've got the number five. We have four lesser centers in the head, plus at the base of the head, which is an analogy to the base of the spine, we have the alpha major center. So that number five is very important because five is the number of the ego. The solar angel has the fifth ray and the second ray generically. And when you are partially controlled by the ego or angel of the presence, solar angel, you are entering the fifth kingdom of nature. So see how the correspondences do work out. We retain our mental focus. Our heart center is developing into something more than just spreading life and vitality around the system. And the head is becoming the great occult center. Now notice, we're not even called at this point spiritual man. Even though the number five is there, because some of the higher head centers are not active, we are not called spiritual man. But now we ought to be at this point, you know, pretty much at this point. We're dropping the throat center. No, we're not. The heart and the throat still remain because of the mental polarization or the mental focus. And now we have seven head centers. And I want to say, all of these head centers are ruled by Vulcan, just the way in the great life in which we live and move and have our being, and that life is called the one about whom naught may be said, or if I was going to go searching for it over here, let's see, I'll show you where to find this. You go to Cosmic Fire, and you go to page 293, and we live in the unknown. And in this unknown being, constellations are chakras, and each chakra is really the field of expression of a cosmic logos. So this is our local one about whom naught may be said. And we're, you know, when you think about that great being, it too has seven internal head centers. And you know what those are? It's very interesting. Those are the seven stars of the Great Bear. They form the head, internal head centers of this great being. But now this only takes us from the first initiation to the third initiation. What's very interesting about this is that seven head centers have to be developing, and we are working primarily in the seventh petal of the egoic lotus. So the number seven is very important here. The great second ray is very important. And whereas the number of the previous solar system used to be the number five, the Brahmic number, the number of our present second ray solar system is seven. So this phase is ruled by sevenness in a certain respect. And finally, the last one, now we're really spiritual man. We really are taking the third initiation. We drop away the throat center. We drop away the knowledge petals of the egoic lotus. Knowledge is instinctual already. We're working on the intuition from the third to the fifth degree. Now we have the heart center, and it's going to be a very high intuitive function of the heart center. The heart center is going to be connected with the Buddhic or intuitional plane. The seven head centers again repeated, and the two many petal lotus is obviously the great crown chakra, the thousand petal lotus, really 960 petals plus 12, 972 petals plus 96 petals here at the Ajna Center, the two many petaled lotuses. And now we've kind of completed the whole thing. Our number is 10, 1 plus 7 plus 2. So this gives you an idea of the basis I didn't realize I was going to talk about this. I thought I was going to talk about some other things here, but you know, things happen. So this is the basis of analogizing to the planet, to our solar system, to our local cosmos involving the different zodiacal constellations. It all starts with our own etheric body. And what we learn about our etheric body, we can transpose into these higher systems in order to interpret them. And reciprocally, if we learn something about these greater systems and there are some blanks, we shall say, in our understanding of our own etheric body, we take what we know on high and we impose it upon the etheric body. And sometimes we come up with clues that tell us more about the etheric body. So, you know, it's really, it's more as above, so below, but sometimes very conveniently, it can be as below, so above, if we don't try to force the analogy too hard. So I transposed this, these human triangles and emphasized that they unfold and are bright and are dominant according to the stage of our evolution and within the triangles themselves, according to the major ray of the monad, which organizes the triangles, shall we say, and determines the timing of their revolution. Okay, now, and I looked at our normal internal monad, soul, and personality triangle and showed us how very long the third ray point of our triangle here, generically third ray, okay? I'm not saying what kind of personality you have, but the personality is generically third ray, the soul is generically second ray, and the monad is generically on the first ray. So how very long the personality point in the triangle operates. As a matter of fact, we're just reaching the end of that phase and going into the much shorter soul point dominance. And then we go into, finally, the monadic point dominance. But interestingly, although it takes place only for a short time, when it comes to the normal human initiations, it lasts a long time when we're talking about development out there in the solar system and beyond in the cosmos and on the higher planes. Okay, well, maybe you're as surprised as I am, but this is foundational, you know, this is foundational, and maybe I didn't get very far here, but you know, this can open up some kind of study for us, and I guess I only got a little bit to the idea of first aspect, second aspect, and third aspect. Life, quality, and appearance. Life, and now we go to the second one, and it's called quality, and then the third one is called appearance. That's as far as I got. But hopefully a foundation has been laid. So here below is a reference from A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 169 and 170, which shows the dominating triangles of the human etheric body at various stages of evolution. And we can analogize from this basis towards the planet, the solar system, and the local cosmos. Solar, towards the planet, the solar system, and the local cosmos. Okay. Well, you know, what's going to happen, obviously, is that Master DK is a teacher of meticulous entirety and detailed unity. That's his way of teaching. There is a kind of a triangle, again, of methods by which the second ray expresses itself. There's wisdom, there's love, and there's meticulous entirety. And that's 1, 2, and 3. Each ones of the kinds of souls found on either line have some of the other. The wise person has to have, you know, love, and has to have some of this detailed understanding of the cosmos, and the loving person has to have wisdom and some of the detailed understanding. And Master DK has certainly demonstrated that although he has this kind of mind which brings all things together in meticulous entirety, he certainly has love and wisdom. So the kind of line on which we express ourselves is also a triangle, depending upon our ray. And when it comes to the first ray, second ray, and third ray, all of them have three different aspects. I don't know about the others. In this Terra test that I've created long ago, in which we hope to have functional again before long, it's called Transpersonal Astro-Rheological Analysis. I've given the opportunity for people to begin detecting their higher rays, but it's just a beginning, you know. That expert diagnosis is not there, and we have to trust the master. And we will get the master's opinion over the next several, it won't be an opinion, it'll be a fact, over the next several centuries. So I'm going to close this and say that this is the end of the science of triangles number 8. And we're only on page 420, I guess, page 420. And today is the 9th of February. And so far, like I say, Tuya and I have to work this out. Sometimes something on the evening schedule will be necessary so that we can bring in others who otherwise would miss it if I stick only to the morning schedule. And this is the beginning of Science of Triangles, number 9, academic study, at page 420. And let's see when it occurs, roughly. Joe or Brett, correct me if I'm mistaken. It looks like it's on the 23rd of February. And so far, that's what it is. And that's one day before Moria Remembrance Day, remember, which is on the, no, I'm wrong. That's 24th of March. Okay, I'm getting a little anxious here. And I just want to say one more time before we get into our little discussion, we all certainly invite you to the upcoming conference, which really focuses on the essence of the second ray, the Buddha and the Christ, radiant wisdom, all-pervading love. It's a great theme, and we'd love to have you present, and I think a very beautiful second ray energy will be generated, and we really know how needed it is in this fractious world that we have at the moment, which is based largely on a very limited egocentric consciousness in so many leaders and in so many people who elect those leaders. So we'll do our best from the inside, and meanwhile we will progress learning how to work with triangles so that the work of the men and women of goodwill in the world can be effective, and so that the esoteric students can really work with power to bring love, wisdom, the soul ray of our planet, into expression. Alrighty. Now, you know how it goes with these questions and answers or your comments. you can stick to the subject, or you can just ask about what you might like to ask about. You know, all of that is possible. So we open up then the floor to whomever would like to offer a thought or have a question. Our subject has been very interesting, the major triangles in the major stages of development of the human being. And look, you know, there are a lot of triangles. These are just the ones that are sort of foundational. You go into DK's meditations and let's say meditation 2, which is all about bringing the group astral body into the right condition. The triangle there, excuse me, is the solar plexus, the heart, and the asthma center. That's not listed here, but it's very important for that kind of work. You know, and there's the basic subdiaphragmatic triangle and supradiaphragmatic triangle, and there are triangles going on in the head center. I told you I once did all the triangles between all the planets, all the usual planets, and then rotated them, you know, this way and that way. But it hasn't, I don't think it's seen the light of day. My daughter has transcribed that long ago, but I didn't really publish it yet. I think I should do that sometime. Okay. Any thoughts, questions that you would like to, anything you would like to say about the subject matter that we have been looking at? I'm not trying to make esoteric astrologers out of you, but then again, maybe I am. And we know how valuable it can be to know all these interconnections. Okay, anything? Bravery? Anybody? Anybody? Because, you know, this terrible thing that happens, if you don't talk, I keep talking. That's a terrible thing. Well, who has a question but is afraid to ask it? Anybody? Who has a question that's really off the subject but you would like to know about it? Because that's also possible if you like, if you like. But obviously, DK has given us such clear knowledge, such a right system of development. And I've often said, you know, that the books are written in layers. And you think you've got a book, and it gives you information. But until you start putting the information in that book, in the different parts together, and then put one book together with another book, and another book, and another book, a whole new layer, or whole new layers of information begin to appear. And so, really, he's given us far more than is obvious, because once we start the great process of correlation, new light is flashing out all the time. So, you know, sometimes we said, well, I read that book, you know, I read that book. Well, no. Master DK has written one great book, and all the different parts of it have to be connected with each other. And underlying that is the great 1, 2, 3 of triangles. So persist with your studies as well as your meditation. And of course, wherever you are planted, the service aspect cannot be neglected. As a matter of fact, it sometimes is more important than the meditation aspect. Okay? Anybody here that would like to come into the picture and either write down a question or a thought or say something? Okay, well, you know, actually, when you think about it, you know, we really are, when you attend, I'll just do a little review. When you attend our ask meditations, the link for which should be in your chat box, it's our comprehensive link for the broadcasts. Now, Tuya is reading The Reappearance of the Christ straight through. So the study of the book is going along with the meditations. When you attend the glamour meditation, the webinar for that, and I don't know, Brett or Joe, would you be so kind as to write that glamour meditation link in the chat box if it's not there already? I can't really tell, but let's just say now I am starting to read the glamour world problem straight through. We've already done, you know, 60, 70, whatever programs on different parts of the book, but now, for the sake of continuity, I'm starting to read it straight through. And I think this will be the case with a number of the books, and this will be a way that we can really promote our study wherever we are in the world. The Treatise on White Magic, now I've finished commentary on more than a third of the book, and the different programs, there are about 37 programs now on that, and they are going to be appearing on Makara bit by bit. And if somebody is really interested, by the way, in helping Brett and me give summaries of the programs, you just go to Makara and you see what the summary is. We could use your help as long as you're reasonably familiar with the teaching. You know, if you're brand new to it, that wouldn't be the job for you, but if you've been in it for a while, you can let Brett and me know, and maybe we can give you an assignment that will help us both get those programs up on Makara. So we're going to, in these next 7 years of the period of the Forerunner, not only find the way to serve subjectively as powerfully as we can, but to become as informed as we can about the teaching so we can really, really assimilate it in preparation for the next dispensation, which the date that Master DK gives is 2025. And he talks about, at first, the expansion of the astrological teaching, which I think, you know, it's going to be amazing. So we're going to start reading the books here and there, so to help everybody get through the books in an intelligent and group sense. Now, I've given you enough time. Is there anybody that has, okay, Ecclesia, you have something. It is the vagus center, and Veronica, okay. Yes, the vagus nerve is involved in so many occult processes. I think I would have to defer to the people who know more about the esoteric healing than I do in order to describe that nerve center. And the question the Ecclesia offers is, how does triangles affect the Antikorana? Well, first of all, to work with the major triangle in the human system accesses triangular energies which otherwise would hardly be available. Let me show you what I mean. I'll go back here to these. Notice that the triangle's energies will stimulate the higher triangular sources. Notice that the spiritual triad fills in energy within the soul. And the more we succeed in building and strengthening the Antikorana, the more access we have to these higher triangles. And, you know, and this is important, the more the energies of the higher triangles begin to flow down the Antikorana, and not just into our soul nature, but to, as DK says, interestingly, but to bypass the soul and come directly into our soul-infused personality. So as we begin to, it's a reciprocal thing. As we build the Antikorana, the accesses to the greater triangular energies, notice the monad, will, wisdom, activity, and it doesn't stop there. Triangles all the way up, but you know, this is enough for us to deal with. And as we learn more about these energies and seek to invoke them in different ways, down the Antikorana, I mean, of course, that's just language, you know, but into our consciousness and down the bridge of light, these energies come. And not only that, but we become connected with different zodiacal and planetary triangles, which stimulate our chakras in a receptive and radiatory manner. Now take a look at, let's see if I can go here. Right. This is a tabulation that we're going to deal with. And some of you maybe have already run into it in your esoteric astrology work, but here are the different rulers which distribute the seven rays. Well, our access to the rays comes in via triangular zodiacal development. It comes in via planetary triangular development. In the normal grade, in the intermediate esoteric grade, and we'll find the chart which shows us the hierarchical grade as well. Let's see, what page are we on here? Page 424. I think that in this book, let's see, I'm just going to make a guess here, around page 66, so that's probably too many. Around page 66, right in here, we have a number of charts, we're going to study them from a triangular perspective. Okay, there we go, related to, or is it page 400 and something? Well, anyway, I can't find it at the moment, but there are. No, this is the one we've just been looking at, and there's another one that involves the hierarchical planets as well. And, you know, one of the things we have to do something that we can do as astrologers, but we can also do it as people who are interested in general occultism. We simply have to study why it is that when the first ray reaches us, it must do so through these three constellations at this time. What is their particular relationship to the will or power ray? And on we will go. You know, here we have the will to creativity in Aries. In Leo, we have the will to fulfillment. In Capricorn, we have the will that conquers death. Every time that we have an incarnation with one of these emphasized, we are building this triangle and our access to the first ray. When we work with Mercury, and let's see, the esoteric ruler here is the Sun, but it's really Neptune. The Sun is veiling Neptune. And then Saturn, the esoteric ruler of Capricorn, when we have that triangle of energy, namely Mercury, Neptune, and Saturn pronounced in our chart, we also have the opportunity to be bringing in the first ray via Aries, Leo, and Capricorn. So here's my statement, that every little work we do, piece of work we do, although it seems to be a little here and a little there, it's all a great jigsaw puzzle. It's all a great mosaic. And gradually, the picture is becoming clearer and clearer, and the lines of connection are becoming clearer and clearer. We're stretched out over time. We have many lives, and we do a little work here and a little work there, but it all starts to come together. And as these triangles begin to complete themselves within our etheric body, we also have access to the higher order triangles, which sponsor our etheric relationships. So we're always building connections with the planets. We're always, according to our ray chart, building connection with the rays, and every chakra in every triangle is ruled by a ray. And the little piecemeal work that we do, like Master Moria once said, he said, well, you think I don't have a design when I'm writing my books, but there is a mosaic here. Of course, he was Moses, I do believe. There is a mosaic here, and the design is hidden. But, you know, basically he's saying there's a method to why I have scattered this teaching in the way I have. So we can, in fact, develop triangular access by working on our planets, on our chakras, on our full moons, on our access to zodiacal energies. It's all shaping up, and the idea is the higher energies will come down the antikorana. Okay, Catherine, you've got something here. Let's take a look. Okay, Ecclesia, I hope that, you know, gave a little something. In esoteric healing, the vagus nerve is used in the triangles of healing for good. Thank you, Catherine. Control of blood pressure, triangle for nerves, the pranic energy, and the triangle for the nerves. There could be other triangles. Okay, thank you for that. That's one book I have not read as a healer, but, you know, more to correlate and so forth. So you know about this, and Nicole is good at this, and Kay and other people down under are involved in the work of esoteric healing in the technical sense. So we can call upon you for your knowledge. Certainly the vagus nerve is strongly related to occultism, and its stimulation is, in the right sort of way, is required. Master DK is going to be one of the externalizing masters, and he is going to teach the ancient and yet modern systems of esoteric healing. So hang on and try to be part of his process when it comes. Thanks, Catherine, for that. Appreciate that. You can just maybe copy that, people, if you want to. Okay, what else? Yes, Brett.
Julia has her hand up.
Okay, good. I'm just going to blah, blah, blah. I'm a little bit... excuse me. Right. Okay, dear. There you go. Whoops.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I do right now. You're good.
Okay, okay. Good. Because I'm talking via my mobile. So now just a very practical point, because when we read these the higher triangles and try to understand how the energies is traveling through the cosmos and how they are functioning and what great entities are forming their triangles, because we always can think about zodiacal signs that they are also entities, beings. And in that sense, when we are thinking our own triangle work, and now when we have been working in Ask Project for a few years, and that has really started to dawn in my mind what might be DK is talking about, why the triangle work is so important. Blavatsky was telling that, or saying that, the basis of evolution is triangle. That with two, it is not happening, but you need three. And when we think about this condition on Earth, in our humanity, we know that how our whole planet is behind the schedule of the solar system. So when we think about this triangle work and our small lives, that we are cut from that great drama what's going on in the cosmos, and it's very hard in our personal life to see the big view and picture. But via the triangle work, we actually really, really participate in every breath. Of course, in other ways too, but in this triangle work, if we can make our triangle with whom we are working really living, it takes us immediately with the hierarchical work about this salvation and also this very conscious way of growing as disciple. This is really practical point of view about how the triangle is important and how it really is related to our discipleship lives at the moment.
We're going to be connected up with many sources of energy as we do this triangle's work. There are triangles that are vertical, triangles that are horizontal, triangles that are partly vertical and partly horizontal. There's all kind of interconnections. And if we really want to be connected up with the sources of energy, as you were saying, that bring salvation, the triangle's work is an amazing way to do that. Plus, it's a huge service to the advancement of goodwill and goodness and love, wisdom in the world. It re-motivates the human being. And we would need a very great change in motivation among so many, because the triangle hovers above the square. It's like, you know, when kids draw a little house, you know, here's the roof and here's the house. The triangle above the square, you know, it's the Masonic apron too. It's an archetypal figure, and triangles are souls. Another name for soul is the triangle. So we're really bringing the soul nature of our planet into expression as we do this work. And plus, we're going to have access to all kinds of energies we didn't think we could touch before. And that's the beauty of this kind of spiritual occultism. As we go deeper and deeper into it, we're going to become conduits for these great energies and applying them so the divine plan can really work out. So we're in good shape, and we just have to really apply ourselves these next 7 years, and of course beyond, but especially leading up to the year 2025 and the great conclave, which is so important. Let's do everything we can with our little triangles networks, you know, whether you have one or two or 50, whatever you have. Let's plunge in and do that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking also the triangle around the Christ.
Yeah.
He talks about this, the point in the middle, who is the Christ, and then the triangle around him. So
yeah.
the whole idea of the triangle work also with the higher ones, the great ones, is interesting to ponder on who are those who of the masters who are, and we see via DK what he has been describing, who are working at this time very, very hard to also externalize hierarchy and the reappearance.
Well, they work in triangles, you know. Of course, around the Christ, there's the classic 1, 2, 3, isn't there? Avatar of Synthesis, Ray 1, and in this context, the Spirit of Peace is looked at as Ray 2, though in other contexts, maybe Ray 1, and the Buddha with his third ray monad is looked at as the third ray. And then we have, in hierarchy itself, we have the Manu, the Bodhisattva, and the Mahachohan. That's an amazing controlling triangle that sits, you might say, at the top of hierarchy. So, you know, it's triangular perception we need to develop. You know, if I was to go over here and there it is, whoops, went too far. But, okay, 1, 2, there it is. Look at the triangles involved in the structure of hierarchy. It's, all of the connections, and also interesting where they don't connect. But here are, three kumaras or buddhas of activity, and they're a triangle, and there's an esoteric triangle above them, and all together they create a six-pointed star with Sanat Kumara in the center. And here's a ray triangle, and here's a great solar systemic cosmic triangle of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And, our solar logos is going to be involved in a triangle as well. It's not given here. The Manu, the Christ, and the Buddha. And here there's a line across from the Venetian master, Master Kutumi. And who is this one? Wait a second. Can anybody see that very well? I've got to be able to.
Is that Jupiter?
Master M. Here's Master Jupiter. Interesting, he goes to the European master, but there's nothing over here that balances that. Well, there's going to be a story behind that. But Master M, Master KH, and the Venetian master form a triangle. And, just look at the connections here, and you'll see how this network within the hierarchy itself is solidifying via the triangle's work. It's an amazing picture. So all I'm saying is, let's study whatever comes before our eye with the idea that triangularization is lying beneath the structure. And as we, go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Finish your sentence.
Oh, I forgot what it was. But anyway, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just thinking what DK was saying about the how we should be generating the love between the members of the triangle, and how we could already see that how our work with those people that we form triangle or triangles, that it is not only based for this life. Somehow I have this kind of sense that we are now starting really consciously build up our connections in this life, and how we are now working for the externalization and reappearance the years to come, also after our this life. So pay attention with whom you are forming the triangles.
yes, and when you look at a triangle like here's Master M, here's Master KH, here's Master DK, here's the triangle. This has been cultivated over many millennia. Here's the Manu, the Christ, and the Mahachohan. The same thing. This is not just a new thing, but these triangles develop more and more and become more and more effective on behalf of the divine plan. Okay, everybody. So here's what, let's see. Have I missed anybody that had a question or comment, anything further that I may have missed? Questions? I don't know. I don't even know. Sometimes I lose my question panel. But I don't know even how to retrieve it. And I go up here to view, Brett, and
nothing.
Questions? That's it. Okay, there it is. But it looks like we have handled the major questions and or comments thus far. So I'll tell you what, although our major triangle meditation, I think it's, very beautiful with the music and the opportunity to work that we is presented on Wednesday in part of the Ask program to you. Gives that. Let's just have a little triangular recollection here as we're going to close out our work together for today. And don't forget, tonight we have Glamour, a dissipation of glamour. Remember, it's all about not telling the truth. Inventing it as you go along, lying, the glamour of lying the glamour of misrepresenting reality, and for whatever reason. So we're working on the glamour of the lie. And when we think about that old biblical statement that the devil is the father of lies, we see that Master DK's attitude, which was described by Blavatsky as, I know a youth so pure that no lie would ever cross his lips. She was speaking of Master DK. Quite a difference from what's going on in the public and political world, and in general, under human beings who are captivated by the third aspect of divinity, by the personality and its determination to preserve its desires no matter what, even if one has to lie about things. So that's a really big glamour, and we'll be working on that again this evening at 5 p.m. GMT. All right, let's just have a little closing. See if I can, there we go. Oh, it's not allowing me to, for some reason, change this, so I'll just let it be. Just let it be. So for the moment, align with your soul nature. And realize yourself as a soul-infusing personality. We don't have to be entirely soul-infused as we would be just before the fourth initiation, but we are demonstrating in the three worlds as a personality who is in process of soul infusion. And now visualize the triangles network with which you are working. You know, the flash before your eye. You should always have a list, you know. If you have a lot of triangles, you want a list because your memory may not carry it. But some of us have fewer and so forth. But flash before your eye in the feeling of goodwill and love and light, flash before your inner eye the triangles with which you are participating. And feel them to be pervaded by love and goodwill and light. And just, you know, you'll time that out for yourself when you're working on your own, but pour your blessings into your triangle or triangles, whatever your little network may be. Pour your blessings into it. And see, you know, in your imagination that your little network, whether it's one triangle or more or many, is connected with the triangle's network, which is found on every continent and connecting people in different continents, different countries. Try to visualize that interconnection and how the little network in which you are participating is part of that big network of golden triangles. And now, what Master DK asks us to do is to sound the great invocation in relation to our triangle's work. And so that's visualizing our connection with those who are part of our own little network, and visualizing our connection with the larger global triangles network. We will together sound the great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, dissipation of glamour tonight. Tomorrow on our ASK program evening schedule, we have the Soul of Nations. And as the Winter Olympics are beginning with South and North Korea, there's some work to be done there to help reestablish union in the right way between the aspects of a divided country. And then on Sunday, in the ASK program, the attracting of money, resources for hierarchical purposes. And you should have the broadcast link, and you should have the dissipation of glamour link. And so the rest of this week will be on the evening schedule. And then next week, Wednesday, we'll start with the morning schedule again. So Tui and I wish to thank you for coming and participating in this work. And we'll be seeing you, right? Wherever we are here. Okay, there we are. Take care, and have a beautiful day or evening or night or whatever it is for you. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.